Thank you, my Lord, for your mercies and grace and faithfulness. Would you grab your swords for a moment? And would you turn to Psalm 19? Psalm 19. Everybody there? Psalm 19. Oh, glory. In verse 7, Psalm 19 and verse 7. And let's read this together. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, of course, the law of the Lord in representation of being perfect, converting the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions. And it's the soulish arena. And the law is a representation of something that's written that's read. The law that was read. So everybody with me. It says, it converts the soul. It's perfect. It says that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the what? Simple. In other words, the things that have been experienced, they are now become testimonies. So these things are expressed. So what was written as the law experienced is a testimony that's now expressed. In verse 8, it says that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Now, statutes are an area where, and I'm just going to express it through the way God has utilized these in my life. And in his statutes, they're areas of ordinances to follow. In other words, they're operating procedures. For every strategy, for everything that God has, are specific statutes. When you get into a vehicle, when you get in somewhere, there is a certain recommendation, certain things that you have to follow by in operation to what you're about to do. It says that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And in this, these are God's commands that are released to me and you every day. In verse 9, it says that the fear of the Lord is what? It's clean, enduring forever. Of course, we know that the fear of the Lord was a representation of reverence to God, honor and respect. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. These are God's execution things, things that he executes in judgment to chasten, to change, to correct. And it says here, it's very powerful. He says that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. In verse 10, would you read it with me? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Is what? Warned. And in keeping them there is a great what? Reward. So in this, he is warning us to maintain these six things that are happening in our life. And in this, he says in verse 12, he says, who can understand his errors? In other words, an individual not able to see. Who can understand his errors? And what does he say? The psalmist cries out, he says, cleanse me from secret faults. Cleanse me from those things I can't see. See, his heart was towards God. He was willing to allow God to expose him in every area. It didn't matter. He didn't care what people thought. I didn't care about reputation. He said, expose me. Show me. Because I'm standing before you, not before men. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from what? Presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. In other words, the word sin means presence of darkness, presence of evil. And he's saying, keep me from these things. But I want you to understand again, it starts off with the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So these are the things of that we're to saturate ourselves in. And he says, look, keep me from these things. Reveal to me my secret faults. Don't allow sin, the presence of evil, don't allow it to be close to me. let them not have dominion over me. Well, you know where the presence of evil is, there's temptation. Because temptation is basically a fruit of the presence of evil, isn't it? And where the presence of evil is, there's demonic activity. It is trying to get to you. He said, let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be what? Blameless. And I shall be innocent of great transgression. Because he knows that where the presence of evil is, there's temptation. And the presence of evil is sin. And if he cooperates with that presence, it's going to release an act called transgression. And verse 14. Now he says something very important because he knows that these are the things that are going to disqualify or disconnect him from the presence of God. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Warning of not maintaining the law, testimonies, statutes, commands, the fear of the Lord, the judgments. Warning of not maintaining these things. And these things are maintained. It's a certain arena of a saturation level of the anointing. Now again, we talked about the law of Christ, and it must be maintained by certain saturation of God's presence. And tonight there are levels of saturation that we want to talk about. And it's essential so they're not deceived or let out of place. How many of you know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy? Amen? And that's his job. And there's a level of saturation that you and I always must maintain. And there are levels of saturation so that you can overcome everything that the enemy has. Now, in this level of saturations that we obtain, it doesn't mean that you won't make a mistake. But when you make the mistake, you don't justify it. You don't reason it. When you make the mistake, you know it instantly. There isn't 5 seconds that goes by that you say, Lord, forgive me, if you're saturated. And the longer you wait, the further his presence is. And the next thing you know, you're overtaken by darkness and your mouth is flinging like a serpent. Your thoughts are wrong perceptions. Your heart begins to get hardened, and the only thing you want to do is protect yourself. Let's go a little further. Psalms 15. Levels of saturation. In verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle, that's in his presence, so that we can get saturated. Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who what? Walks uprightly. So when you begin to walk wickedly, what happens? Separation begins. See, because the enemy always drains you. You can be saturated with the presence of God. You can leave an anointed service and go listen to secular music, and you're done. You can get saturated, and somebody out will be right out there and say something to you, and you will react instead of respond. You're done. Lifted, gone. And you'll have to go get resaturated again. That's how quickly the enemy can drain you. But we must know these things. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the what? Truth in his heart. He who does not what? Backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, that person is stable. Stable. Always staying connected. Didn't say he was perfect or she was perfect, but staying connected because they're maintaining a level of saturation. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Instead of hurting someone else, they'd rather be hurt. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. In other words, in this bribe, the bribe is to promote self. So he doesn't take the bribe to promote self. He who does these things shall never be what? Shall never be moved. The level of saturation maintains stability. It maintains responsibility. I'm going to repeat this. It maintains integrity and honor. Again, a level of saturation maintains stability, responsibility, integrity, and honor. Lack of saturation will bring double-mindedness, instability, and mistrust. I want to share this again. Lack of saturation will bring double-mindedness, instability, and mistrust. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Levels of saturation. Levels of saturation. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. Now Samuel was a prophet, and Israel didn't want the Lord to be their king. They wanted somebody they could see. Even though God revealed himself through clouds, lightnings, and everything else, fires, and, you know, hallelujah. They wanted someone they could see, so the Lord appeared to them at Mount Sinai and spoke to them, and they all booked. They were all afraid. They all ran. And they said, Lord, we want you to speak to Moses, and Moses will speak to us. And then after a period of time, Saul became king. So they still wanted someone to speak to besides directly to God. And Samuel was a prophet. And in verse 1 it says, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? In other words, he's given someone responsibility. And in this responsibility, there must be a maintaining of saturation of God's anointing. He said, when you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin and Zelos. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to go look for have been found. In other words, Saul lost these donkeys. And his family was beginning to worry about the donkeys. But then they began to worry about Saul because they didn't know where he was. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabar. There are three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hand. So God automatically says, listen, you have been anointed, but I got to change you. I got to saturate you. So don't worry about, I'm going to take care of the carnal things with your family. Now you're going to go meet some of these individuals that provision is going to be given to you so you can make offering. In verse 4, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to meet to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with string instruments, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. In other words, they are worshiping and praising God. And we talked about the area of saturation that you become a worshiper. That's where you fulfill priesthood. If you are not a worshiper, then saturation can't come. Only a certain level can come. That's why individuals that say they're Christians and don't worship, They're unstable. Why? Because there's not enough saturation. Is everybody with me? It is important that saturation be established in our life. Now, this was what we called corporate saturation, and we talked about gathering together in worship. Then there's individual saturation that you can maintain also. And that's when you begin to praise and worship the Lord in your own home, your closet. You listen to Christian music, and I'm not talking outer court all day long. Listen, you can listen to contemporary music and you'll be temporary. Because the devil will wipe you out. There's a lot of Christian music out there that's not, it's got the lyrics, but it ain't bringing you in God's presence. The only thing it has is a message. Jesus saves, Jesus delivers, Jesus this, Jesus that. Well, good, go meet him. Get in his presence and talk to him. Is everybody with me? See, so there's a level of saturation even with praise and worship. You praise to deny yourself, and then you worship him with spirit to spirit. But some people have never even gotten there because they've never really sought the Lord with all of their heart. They're still too religious. They're still more control. They want control over things. And that area of control will drain you of God's saturation because you begin to fight for your life and survival. So in this first area that we talked about, even when we were talking about the law of Christ and maintaining saturations, saturation in the presence of God is going to have to take praise and worship. Verse 6. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you shall prophesy with them and be what? Turned into another man. And be turned into what? Another man. A man that God can trust. Listen, God can't trust somebody that isn't willing to fight for the anointing. He can't trust them. Because they're unstable. They're double-minded. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands. For God is with you. How many times have you gone to a service and you sat there while everybody else was worshiping? Well, then you're not getting saturated. And if you're not saturated by God, you can't be turned into another person that God can trust. Let's go a little further. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came there to the hear, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it happened when all who knew him formally, in other words, they knew Saul before he was saturated, that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, and that the people said to one another, "What is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" So they saw who he was and saw how he had changed. Why? Because saturation always changes you. Saturation also maintains you. The level of saturation for kingship had to be established. But of course we know that Saul didn't maintain that saturation, and he fell. He became prideful. And God removed him from kingship. So we see here in this saturation, it's praise, worship, and fellowship. That's where the word says, forsake not to assemble. But then there's that place of individual. Go to Judges 13. Levels of saturation. Judges 13. Is everybody there? Praise God. Let's read verse 1. Let's read this together. Again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. It says again. Hallelujah. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. How many of y'all want to be delivered in the hands of the Philistines? These are demonized individuals. Now there was a certain man from Zerah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Moniah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and do not eat anything unclean. Why? Because what she does affects the child." Again, what she does, where she goes, what's going around her is going to affect the child. So he said, don't eat these things or drink these things. He warned her, this is the angel of the Lord, he said, be careful. In verse 5, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come to his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." In other words, as soon as he comes from the womb, God has anointed him. It was a predestined anointing for him for a specific purpose. So in other words, God had already saturated him with a certain level to fulfill what he called him to do. Is everybody okay? All right. Now, "For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." And he begins to. The problem that happened is he did not maintain that saturation. The Lord told him to stay away from certain things. He started to fornicate. And in this, he got caught up in lust. Samson was granted a level of saturation of the anointing to combat the Philistines to get Israel out of bondage. But Samson allowed lust to expose his weaknesses and failed because he did not maintain the saturation, or he did not stay away from the things that would drain him. Has everybody got it? The woman in lust drained him constantly. Has everybody got this? And he did not run from the lust. He stayed involved in it. And it exposed his weaknesses, and he fell. And Israel went back into bondage. Is everybody okay? Ezekiel 47. Levels of saturation. Ezekiel 47 and starting at verse 1. Everybody there? "Then the Lord brought Ezekiel," he said, "he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from underneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, the side of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to where? My ankles." A saturation. "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees." Another level of saturation. "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. It came up to my waist." I want you to understand something, and if you can picture this, he was still standing. His feet were still touching the ground. Started with his ankles, came up to his knees, went up to his waist. He was still standing there. His feet were still on the ground. See, God wants to saturate you so you're not connected to this place. And again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. For the water was too deep, water in which one must what? Swim. In other words, feet off the ground. A river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river, were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the east region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are what? Healed. Healed. There's a saturation of God's presence that brings healing to us. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. That's why it's so important to get in the river. But there's a place where you lose yourself, that you're no longer attached. Your stability is not stable on the earth because the earth is unstable. Your stability now is in him, not in you. See, anything that's connected to you causes you to want to have control over something. And that's why people get frustrated, because they want control. And the only reason why people want control is because they're not saturated enough and they're in fear. Has everybody got this? So in this levels of saturation, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He comes to drain you of saturation of the anointing. So you become weak in the flesh. The anointing keeps the flesh crucified. Again, saturation of God's presence will keep your flesh crucified. In other words, there's three levels of saturation even in the tabernacle of God. There's the outer court, the holy place, the most holy place. Those are three levels of saturation of God's presence and the anointing. Let me share something with you. The word says that his mercies are new every morning. Every day is a new day. That means every day you must get saturated again. Do you know that you wake up in the outer court every day? So in other words, if you're in the outer court, you're in the flesh. That's why the sacrifice is there. That's why the blood of Christ is there. Because when you're in the outer court, you're in the flesh. Are you listening? So the sacrifice is there to cover your sins in the flesh until you're saturated to overcome things. So that repentance is always there. So every morning you wake up, man, you're in the outer court. But if you have been saturated enough, you'll know that when you wake up in the morning, you're in the outer court. Okay, time. Hello? See, so you're not going to go feed your flesh first. You're going to feed the spirit first. So when you wake up in the morning, you're carnal. Hello. Now I'm not saying you can't wake up praising God. I wake up every morning, usually a song's coming out of me. It doesn't mean I'm saturated yet. Because the enemy's sitting there with a list, you got to do this. Or the enemy in the presence is trying to tempt me to do this, or do that, or just roll over. Hello. He's trying to convince you to maintain the place of the outer court or to maintain carnality. Until, because he knows you must get saturated. He knows it. How many people wake up in the morning and run to the breakfast table before inviting God? Then they wonder why their days are tough. Because they feed the flesh first before the spirit. They wonder why things happen. They wonder why they're reacting instead of responding. Because everybody wakes up carnal. Hallelujah. Go to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Outer court people are still carnal. Again, outer court people are still carnal. Romans 12, verse 2. Let's read it together. Do not be what? Conformed to the ways of flesh. Do not be conformed to what? This world, which is what? It's the ways of flesh and thoughts, in motives, in attitude, in lusts, and behaviors. Do not be conformed to the ways of the world, the ways of flesh, in what? Thoughts, motives, attitudes, lusts, and behaviors. Do not be conformed to those, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. When an individual thinks himself more highly than he ought to think, he is carnal, because that is pride. I say then, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. As God has dealt to each one a measure of what? Faith and a measure of anointing. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Again, in this it's important to be conformed. Do not be conformed to the ways of the flesh, as associated with thoughts, motives, attitudes, lusts, and behavior. But renewing your mind. And that word renew means to bring to remembrance. And things are brought to remembrance by the mind of Christ because of the saturation level. If you've ever noticed that if you drop a hammer on your foot, majority of the time your first thought is not, oh, thank you, Jesus. That first thought is usually something nasty. Hello? Have you ever been offended and your first thought was, ruff, ruff, ruff? That's because you want to react. So the first part of the carnal part wants to react, but the Holy Spirit kicks in. Boom. If you're saturated, you're not going to speak what you're thinking. I said, everybody got it. Because the saturation has allowed the mind of Christ to take over the carnal mind. Go to Colossians 3. Oh, glory. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. Levels of saturation. You can go ankle, knee, waist, or swim. Now, we need to be saturated with God's presence through praise and worship, right? In verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the what? The old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, the saturation level is going to separate the new man from the old man. The new man from the old man. Has everybody got it? Now, let's go to verse 12. Therefore what? As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you so also must do. But above all these things, put on what? Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, to be thankful. Verse 16. Here comes the saturation. And let the word of Christ, I said the word of Christ, his words, dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Wow. So there must be a saturation of the words of Christ. We talked about a saturation of his presence and anointing, and there must be a saturation of his words. So everybody got it? So that you and I are saturated. Why? Because the Bible is going to always give you a desire to go to his presence. So if you're saturated with the word, you're going to run to his presence. You're not going to run from his presence. You're going to run to his presence. So again, I want to talk about the area that we're constantly separating the old man from the new man. And that's the level of saturation. In other words, for every job God is going to give you to do, there must be a level of saturation. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. I want to go to Luke 22. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Luke 22. In verse 39. Again, we must be careful how the enemy drains us. Your words can drain you. Associations can drain you. People, places, and things can drain you. Luke 22, verse 39, let's read it together. And coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." There must be a saturation of prayer. In other words, it's important that you pray. If you're not an individual that prays, you can't be trusted because you're not making contact. You must make connection to the anointing. You must make connection to heaven. You must make connection to your home on the other side. Because when you make connection, there is a flow. There's a flow there. It's like checking in every morning. Hey, checking in. You know, don't you want your children to check in with you? Checking in. And God doesn't say, "Where you been?" He only said that to Lucifer. Where you been? Of course, he knew. He knows where you're at. So depending on your prayer every morning, that's why prayer is vital. Prayer every morning, checking in, making connection. See, that causes you to deny yourself, which is the law of Christ. To deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow him. To die daily, right? So there must be that saturation, that level of saturation. So if you're one that gets up and just goes to work, and you're not making contact, how can you be saturated? How can you get filled? How can you get fed? How can there be an impartation? Can't. Now, listen, I'm sharing with you, this is not about a feeling. It's about a duty. It's about discipline. Not everybody feels like praying every morning. But you must grab the flesh by the throat. Come with me. Did your teacher ever grab you by the ear? Come with me. I had that a lot when I was a kid. Come with me. Hallelujah. I spent more time in the hallways than in the classroom. But praise be to God, the things I learned, I didn't go to school for. Hallelujah! I got them from the throne room of God. He even taught me how to read. Glory. Luke 22. Are we still there? Are we getting somewhere? Good. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Why? Because the presence of evil is always going to cause temptation. Okay? So if you're not making connection and getting saturated, the presence of evil is going to get closer to you. Because they don't like the presence of God. That's why people don't worship, because the demons in them don't like the presence of God. Because as they start letting go, yeah, glory, those demons are going, no, no. They got to go. 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more what? Earnestly. Why? He had to reach a certain level of saturation to overcome, knowing that he was going to be whipped, beaten, his beard torn, stripes on his back, and spikes in his hands and feet. Humiliated. He had to reach a level of saturation of death. So the anointing brought death to self, because he was no longer about self-survival. He was out there to do the will of God now. He saw beyond himself. See, without a level of saturation, you can't see beyond yourself. And that's all you do is get in survival mode.
What about me?
Control mode, fear mode. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and he had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into what? Temptation. Majority of people that fall and backslide, it's because of lack of prayer. It's lack of saturation. Why? Because the old man is now coming alive. Now, does everybody have a sheet? On the sheet, I want to go over this really quickly, because I'll give you a little arena or guideline of what's happening here. So again, I want you to understand that prayer of saturation, it's personal prayer. Now you've got, so these are personal things that you can do when you're not associated with corporate worship. You can worship at home. You can get saturated in God's presence there. You can get saturated in His Word. You can get saturated in prayer with Him. Is everybody okay? Levels of saturation. I want to share this with you. Please write this down. Levels of saturation brings levels of revelation. Level of revelation will bring a level of interpretation. See, whatever your level of saturation is the level of revelation you'll get. Whatever the revelation is the level of interpretation you're going to get. And the level of interpretation that you get is going to bring the level of perception you have. And I'll repeat that one more time. Level of saturation brings a level of revelation. Because the deeper you're in, the greater revelation. The level of revelation brings you to a level of interpretation. And the level of interpretation that you get is going to bring a level of perception. And it's important to get to this level of perception. But you must start with saturation. Because without this level of perception, people are being deceived very easily. And what happens then, the old man begins to overtake the new man. If you'll look on your sheet of paper, it says the garden. Well, in the garden was God, Adam, and Eve, and the serpent. And God spoke to them face to face. In fact, Adam and Eve were able to see the serpent. And the Lord warned them. He said, listen, don't get near that presence of evil. That's evil over there. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't get near the presence of evil. Because that presence is called sin. And the fruit of sin is always going to promote temptation. Of course, the garden was to expand through the earth, and it didn't get to happen. The garden was shut down. So the serpent who deceived Eve deceived Adam. See where it says earth? So now we have the earth, no more just the garden. It was the earth. The earth was cursed. The serpent that deceived Eve deceived Adam, and it produced offsprings. Now the ruler was the prince of power of air. You can see that. So you have the ruler, the prince of power of air, the offsprings of Satan, or the serpent. And in these offsprings there was darkness, there was self, and flesh was promoted. Now Christ comes. So the only way, because you and I were now born, listen, when you and I were born into this realm, your father was the serpent. You were born in the image and likeness of the serpent, not God. That's why it was always me, 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 me. Did you ever get around a kid? Me, me, me. You go buy a child something, or you buy something in the house. And the child will take it, and that's mine. What do you mean? I just bought that yesterday. Mine, 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 mine. That's it. It's all about me. Because self is associated with the offspring of the serpent. So you and I were born in the image and likeness of the serpent. Is everybody okay? Now, Christ comes, we get born again. We're no longer in darkness, we're in light. We no longer promote self, we deny self. And we're no longer walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you're saturated, these things will maintain. So we see the next thing, the old man. The old man's what? The serpent father. So the old man's father is the serpent, right? Your old man, the father's a serpent. Self-centered. Works of the flesh. You have a carnal mind. There's deception. And the end result is death. But the new man is his father's God. He denies self. He has the fruits of the Spirit. He has the mind of Christ. He walks in truth. And he'll have life. But there's got to be something that separates the old man from the new man. It's called saturation. Go down to the saturation. Separation between the old man and the new man. Does everybody see that? Saturation, anointing, reverence, relationship, and love. Because the separation and the saturation is going to bring the anointing of God. It's going to bring the reverence and fear of God, and it's going to bring relationship with Him, and it's going to express God's love through you. So this is the area that where the old man is always going to react. See where it says react? Why is it react? Because it's survival. It's prideful. It disrespects. It's controlling. And it fears. So when you react to something, it's because you're reacting according to the offspring of the serpent. But now that you are born and you are saturated of the Spirit, you're going to respond instead of survival mode, surrender. Instead of prideful, you're going to be humble. Instead of disrespectful, you're going to respect. Instead of controlling, you're going to submit. And instead of fear, you're going to trust. See, but the whole thing again, what separates the old man from the new man is the level of saturation. Again, grab hold of this. Every morning you wake up, you're carnal. You must be saturated. You must make contact. If you are not in prayer, if you are not doing something to make contact, I'm talking on a personal level. You got to start off on a personal level. There's that personal over. That's why Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" There's a personal relationship, which is going to cause that separation from the old man and the new man so that you don't react. You respond. So if I was to walk by you and step on your foot accidentally, now I could respond to say, "Excuse me," or I could react to say, "Would you put your foot out there for her?" And of course, you could respond by saying, "I forgive you." Or you can react by saying, "You jerk, let's battle." Has everybody got it? So somebody is going by the old man or the new man. Amen. Again, so in these levels of saturation, these are the levels that you and I must maintain. And when God has a work for you, there's a level of saturation that must be maintained. I didn't say you won't make a mistake. I didn't say you'd be perfect. But you're not going to stay in that and justify it. You're going to come right out of it. You're going to humble yourself quickly. Why? Because you've not offended the person. You've offended God. And when you do that, you lose trust. And then you've got to go around and around and around till you conquer that by the saturation, because God will not release another thing to you until it's done. Hello. Romans 8. Levels of saturation. Romans 8 and verse 5. Levels of saturations bring levels of revelation. Levels of revelation bring levels of interpretation. Levels of interpretation bring levels of perception. Romans 8, verse 5, let's read it together. For those who live according to the flesh, and the flesh is the old man, right? It's also associated with living to yourself, offspring of darkness. Let me tell you, the old kid's not gone yet. He must be crucified. He must be dead. The only thing I can do is be saturated. So my old man goes on the cross. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. So to maintain the carnal mind, the natural mind, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. So your carnal, natural mind does not want to obey or submit to the things of God. Has everybody got it? The old man only wants fellowship with darkness. That's where he came from. That's where he wants to live. He doesn't care about the consequences of hell. He's living for now and today. Because he's the offspring of the serpent. The old man is still in you. It's called self. And what separates self from the new child is the anointing, the saturation. So you don't, your association, that's why the Bible warns us to be careful who you hang with. Bad company corrupts what? Good habits. Why? Because bad company is the presence of evil. It's draining that individual. It's draining that person. That person could be saturated. Next thing you know, that person can go out, say something. One word will drain that person. And they become flesh. One word can change that person. So know this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's going to always come against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So please grab hold of this. Your carnal mind is never going to submit to the things of God. Never. Forget it. It ain't going to work. And you know what? You can't cast out flesh. So there are areas that you can't blame the demon. You got self that's associated with the offspring of darkness that loves lust, that loves to lie, that loves the presence of darkness. Amen? It loves its father, the serpent. It is called self. And its mind is always going to be submissive to the devil. It's going to be against God. So that's why saturation must come. Saturation comes, so when the Spirit of God comes in you, he comes with the mind of Christ. So the more saturation there is, the more dominion you have over the old man. Now, if you have more dominion over the old man, the mind of Christ is going to take dominion so that you might think about reacting, but you're not going to. It may come up, but the thought might not even be completed yet because you've already shut it down through the mind of Christ, through the saturation. Hello. It says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. No, well, how could they please God? They're the offspring of the serpent when they're in the flesh. The old man, self, inwardly, self is inwardly of the old man. Flesh is outwardly of the old man. Carnal mind of the old man cannot be renewed according to the new man. But saturation will allow the mind of Christ to have dominion over the carnal mind and bring it to remembrance of the truth of Christ and his character. I'll say this again. The carnal mind of the old man cannot be renewed according to the new man. But saturation will allow the mind of Christ to have dominion over the carnal mind. And it'll bring to remembrance the truth and character of Christ so that you respond according to Christ and not react according to the old man. Because the old man fears. The old man has self-survival. You know, one of the things that the Lord told Eve and Adam when they were in the garden, he said, okay, there's the presence of evil. Don't touch it. But Eve walked close to it more than once. She was curious. And the serpent said one word. And you know what she did? She touched it. Because she got too close to the presence of evil. And the serpent planted his seed in her, and she conceived. And then he used her to plant the seed in Adam. And they both became the parents of the living, not the eternal. And from that point, God knew he had to come into this realm. Other than that, man would continue to be of the offspring of the serpent. And there'd be nothing but chaos here forever. Didn't he kill everyone with the flood? Amen. And only Noah and his family survived. Only the righteous Noah. It's a whole nother. Again, you can't cast out flesh or remove the carnal mind. Sorry. That's all you can do is allow it to be crucified by the saturation and allow the mind of Christ dominion by saturation. Is everybody okay? Again, separation, saturation, anointing, reverence, relationship, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So what's the devil trying to get you? He's trying to get you out of the Spirit, drain you, so the carnal mind has dominion. Now you become the natural man again. And you know what? When you're in that state, you cannot receive the things of the Spirit. You can't understand them. You get goofy. I just don't understand. No, you don't. Because you're in the flesh. But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So when you're in the flesh, it is difficult to get things of the Spirit. God will speak to you, speak to you, speak to you. And you'll go, huh? Was that who? You won't know. Until you finally humble yourself and repent for whatever it is that got you in the flesh. And you get washed by the blood, and the Spirit has access to you again so you can get saturated. Then big separation begins. The old man from the new man, not a mind of Christ, has got dominion. You're allowing the mind of Christ to have dominion over the carnal mind. And now when he says something to you, go, oh, man, was I stupid. I can't believe I did that. And I thought that was all right. But I was in the flesh. Verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Don't think you're spiritual when you're in the flesh. You're judging me. You're right. You're a flesh creature. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So when you're saturated, the mind of Christ has dominion. Is everybody okay? Is everybody getting this? Without saturation, carnality, human precepts, and offsprings of darkness will have dominance. And you will react instead of respond. You will not be able to go deep into the things of God. And you will allow the touching of the devil, of the evil presence, more than you realize. Genesis 4. Genesis 4 and verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, you got to grab hold of this, because Cain already knew what God accepted. Before Adam and Eve left the garden, God killed an animal, showing them what he accepted. And he covered Adam and Eve with the skins of an animal. Life for life. Adam and Eve already knew and told their children, and Adam sacrificed. So it was passed down. So Abel and Cain knew the right thing to do. But Cain chose not to obey God. And so because, now Cain was not rejected, his offering was. Cain was not rejected, only the offering. And the Lord said, come on, tighten up. He said, look it, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, verse 7, in other words, if you go back and get an animal from your brother and offer it up, I'll accept it. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you. But you should what? Rule over it. So he said, listen, I didn't reject you. I rejected your offering, but you know which one to bring me, so just obey and bring it. What are you angry about? I love you unconditionally. Now, if you're not willing to obey, there's someone else that you're obeying then. And it's the presence of evil that is knocking at your door, and its desire is for you. Obviously, Cain didn't do the right thing. Now, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I don't know. Did he lie? Yeah. Am I my brother's keeper? Ooh, nice attitude. And he said, what have you done? Like God didn't know. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Why? Because when they died, where did they go? In the ground. So now you are what? Cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand, which was known as paradise. So Abel went to paradise. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So God didn't, again, reject Cain, only his offering, but not only Cain not willing to submit to God, he received correction, but he didn't accept it. So correction was given to Cain, but he didn't accept it. So because of the flesh dominance, Cain became angry and prideful. Not willing to change, but maintained a stubbornness, rebellious, and chose anger and then murder instead of bringing the right sacrifice, the right offering. And what this did is brought a label on himself and caused him to move away from the presence of God and the saturation to overcome. Again, saturation is what separates the old from the new. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes some of the simplest things could cause you to be drained and not even realize it. Next thing you know, you're in the flesh. But once you find out you're in the flesh, get out. Get out quickly, or you'll do the same things you used to do. He who's in Christ is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So you're not doing the same old things you used to do. You are now responding, not reacting. There's a difference. And man, do we need to be saturated. In these days where days are so evil and the spirits of Antichrist are so strong and manipulating people and promoting self in every area. You as believers, we as believers, must be saturated, separated, sanctified in His presence, in His Word, in relationship, and in fellowship. And I want to close at 1 Corinthians 13. Remember the separation between the old and the new, to act, react, and respond. The saturation, anointing, reverence, relationship, and love. That will always maintain the fruit of love. And verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. I said bears all things. Hello. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away when the Lord comes. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. In other words, you still have a carnal part to overcome all the time. But when He comes and we go, the carnal part will be done away with. Verse 11. When I was a child of the flesh, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, things of the flesh are associated with childish things. Things of the spirit are associated with godly things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Levels of saturation. It's our responsibility. You can't blame any circumstance, anything or any person or any event. You can't blame anything if you react. Does everybody got it? You choose. You choose to respond or you choose to react. But as you maintain the saturation and you're submissive to the Lord and those things He's telling you, you maintain the cloak of humility, you won't react to the old and give place to the devil. You'll respond. That's why He says don't get entangled in the affairs of this world and the lusts of this world. It is important that we maintain a level of saturation so we do not allow the old man to have dominion. So be careful what you touch in thoughts. Be careful what you touch in your tongue. Be careful what you agree with people, associations. Be careful of what you listen to of music. Be careful what you put in your eyes. Be careful, because any one of those things can drain you to saturation and promote the old man. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to saturate us with your presence, with your truth, your word, and your love tonight, Lord. And let this seed that you've imparted in us be protected by the blood of Christ, and let it grow into our spirit, our soul, our mind, our body. Let it become into our blood, that we may bust out an arena that the flesh tries to hold us and the carnal man tries to take dominion over us. But keep us saturated so that the old man stays crucified and under our feet in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Praise God. Be blessed.